Now, in traditional terminology, these three stages of the higher evolution, of the spiritual life, are the stages of morality, meditation, and wisdom. And here, of course, we find ourselves back on very familiar ground indeed. It's like being taken on a long journey, round and round. And you think you've strayed very, very far from home, but you take a turning, you take a twist, and you find yourselves almost on your own doorstep. So here, while we've made this detour, we've gone into quite abstract considerations, but we find ourselves, as I've said, back on very familiar ground indeed. No grounds to the Buddhists could be more familiar than this. Sila, Samadhi, Prajna, morality, meditation, and wisdom. But though we find ourselves back on, in a sense, familiar ground, we mustn't forget that old adage, familiarity breeds contempt. Perhaps we find ourselves back on it with a deeper understanding than before, with perhaps some understanding of what these terms, morality, meditation, and wisdom, really mean. So let me say, at this stage, just a word or two on each of these within the context of the present discussion. First of all, morality. There's no such word in Buddhism, incidentally. It's equivalent to what traditionally is known as skillful action. Buddhists in the East don't talk about morals, they talk about skillful action. And skillful actions are actions expressive of what are known as skillful mental states. In other words, mental states free from the grosser forms of craving, grosser forms of aversion, and grosser forms of ignorance, and which therefore do no harm either to self or others, and which may even on occasion benefit them. Now, morality in the sense of skillful action, action expressive of skillful mental states, we may say, is of fundamental importance in Buddhism. It's basic. At the same time, its value is regarded as strictly limited. Morality in the sense of skillful action, paves the way, prepares the way for the experience of the second great stage, the stage of meditation. But Buddhism insists again and again that morality by itself, skillful action by itself, even skillful mental states by themselves, cannot conduct one directly to the experience, to the realization of the unconditioned. Morality, we may say, in the Buddhist view, is rather like the launching pad of a rocket. You can't launch the rocket without the launching pad. At the same time, once the rocket is launched, once it goes streaking off into the stratosphere, the launching pad is left behind on Earth. The launching pad doesn't go to the stars. Now, morality, skillful action in Buddhism, is not regarded as identical with the spiritual life. Morality is regarded as only part of the spiritual life, only a means to an end, the immediate end being meditation, the ultimate end being wisdom and even the realization of the unconditioned. And incidentally, I should mention also that Buddhism distinguishes very sharply between two kinds of morality, what it calls natural morality and what it calls conventional morality. The first, natural morality, is that which has a psychological foundation, which consists of actions expressive of skillful mental states. But the second, conventional morality, is simply a matter of custom, a matter of opinion, very often very local, and is of no real moral significance. So by morality, in the Buddhist sense, as the first stage of the spiritual path, one means, not conventional morality, but natural morality. Morality in this sense, morality as skillful action, morality as the first great stage of the spiritual path, the first great stage of the higher evolution, corresponds to the white segment, the white half of the second circle of the wheel of life. This white segment leads upwards, leads to the periphery of the circle, the periphery of the gravitational field of the conditioned. But that white segment itself is still inside that gravitational field, still part and parcel of it.